Sport on RTE Radio 1.
And...
yeah, I'm not fussy about an introduction, but my name is Des Cahill, and here's the sports news.
I was looking for something else.
Here's Des Cahill with the sports news. Good morning, Des.
Good morning, thank you very much. Our All-Ireland football final preview is coming up, but first to last night's European soccer action, and a late goal gave St. Patrick's Athletic a crucial 1-0 win against nine-man Nami Kalju of Estonia in their UEFA Conference League tie at Richmond Park. Chris Forrester got the goal shortly after his introduction on 90 minutes. It looked set to be a night of frustration for St. Pat's. They were repelled by Kalju, who lost two players to red cards within five second-half minutes. Afterwards, Tony O'Donoghue got the reaction of St. Pat's manager, Stephen Kenny.
I think, listen, any win in Europe is important. I think it's they showed their grit and determination by winning in Albania in the previous game, which was a great win for them. So we knew to give nothing up. Easy. So we're glad to win the game and put ourselves in the in a strong position going into the second leg. Like, we are disappointed that we couldn't get that second one, because that second would have made the tie, you know, would have put us in a really strong position. We had a lot of chances to get the second goal and couldn't quite take them, but nevertheless, we can't dwell on that. We are a bit frustrated with that, but we will take the 1-0 victory as overall a good result.
That's Stephen Kenny. Meanwhile, Shamrock Rovers surely have one foot in the third qualifying round now after a record away win in Europe, 4-0 victory over St. Joseph's in Gibraltar. Rory Gaffney, Danny Mandrew, John McGovern and Jack Byrne on target. Here's the Rovers manager, Stephen Bradley.
Yeah, we're delighted. I know a lot of people obviously would have had as favourites to come here and win the game, but you have to go and win the game and play what's in front of you. And I thought the players did that really well. It was extremely hot at kick-off time. The pitches... obviously sticky, it's an actual turf, but I thought the players got to grips with that really quickly and were excellent in how they went about the game. And we're disappointed not to be another couple ahead in the first half. Graham, Bourke and Rory had two chances. But we tidied up a bit in the second half, which is good to see. And like you said, the subs came on and made a real impact. We know how important the bench is, we know how important the squad is, and the subs that came on again today were excellent. They gave us real quality energy, and obviously a couple of them score goals, which is important. The scoreline will definitely come in and play a part in the team selection next week, but also there's players that deserve an opportunity. There's players that are just back from injury and we need to get them up to scratch. So we'll definitely look at moving things around on Thursday with Sunday and then the following week in mind as well. So yeah, we'll definitely look at shuffling that.
That's Stephen Bradley. Now, Linfield got a nil-all draw away to Vilnius in Lithuania. Troy Parrott scored for AZ Alkmaar in a 4-3 away defeat to Tampere from Finland. And Jamie McGrath scored a crucial goal for Hibernian in a very good 1-1 draw at Midtjylland of Denmark in the Europa League qualifier. Now, because of all the European action, only three games in the Premier Division tonight. Cork City versus Sligo Rovers, key game at the bottom. Derry City versus Bohemians and Galway United versus Waterford. In athletics, another great performance from Kate O'Connor, who won a gold medal in the women's heptathlon at the World University Games in Germany. The Dundalk athlete amassed a total of 6,487 points, breaking her own national record set back in 2021. And her new mark leaves her fourth in the world this year. And so to Gaelic games, and Kerry have named an unchanged side for Sunday's All-Ireland football final with Donegal at Croke Park. And in a further boost, the Kingdom, Dermot O'Connor, who's been injured, has been deemed fit enough to be included in a 28-player squad. That squad will be cut to 26 for a match day. Well, here to give us his verdict on the final is a man who knows all about winning. He's won six All-Irelands with Dublin. And Paul Flynn, we have the two best teams in the final. That doesn't always happen.
It doesn't, Des, no, but we do this time, which is fantastic. For the biggest day of the Gaelic football calendar, we've done Donegal versus Kerry, and probably means the game doesn't need a whole pile of build-up. Everyone's so excited about it. But for me, it's even more than that. It's nearly a battle of philosophies, really, isn't it? You know, we've got Donegal, who, you know, game built on structure, team thrive on their running power and their transition from defence to attack, not giving away the ball, really efficient. Whereas on the other hand, you've got Kerry, you're all about expression, fluidity, creativity, and a bit of unpredictability. And the big question is, which approach will prevail, or will teams adapt their approach to suit the final? And I think they will. But, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see if Kerry can break down that Donegal defensive organisation, and can they match their running power, you know? And then it's also on Donegal, can they stop the Cliffords? Yeah, so really interesting kind of elements of the game. But you also have characters, Des. You know, you've got Jim versus Jack, you've got Murphy versus Clifford, you know, real characters and legends of the game. So that really helps when it comes to selling it. And when you get into the game then itself, you're just looking at just individual battles all over the place that really could define the game. You know, Brendan McCall, fullback for Donegal, has been phenomenal this year, but he's given it the unenviable task of marking David Clifford, the most dangerous forward in the game. Can he contain him? Will he need the support of the zonal defence around him, which I assume he'll get? You know, really interesting. And then you got a midfield, big Joe O'Connor for Kerry, potentially going up against Michael Langan, who's been one players of the year this year. So that's really, really interesting. And you might even see Dermot O'Connor thrown in there, who's been out with a shoulder injury. He could go in there and do a job there. So all these things, yeah, just make the game so hotly anticipated. Paddy Clifford, the key man for Kerry, he's the guy who can unlock that zonal defence. Will Roy McHugh man-mark him like he did when Donegal played Armagh, and he man-marked Grugan? So all these things, for me, make this just phenomenally exciting to look forward to.
So call it, Paul.
It's a really difficult game to call, and a couple of reasons why. You know, it's about which team can play the moment, which team can execute their game plan in a risk-effective manner to make sure that they perform. And that's the big thing about finals, is to try to get that form. But who are they going to match one another physically? The question for Kerry is, they've been excellent in defence this year, and really when they're scrambling defence, but playing against Donegal is different. You have to tag every runner. Their running power is so strong. It's their key strength. Can they capitalise on that? Who's going to win the midfield battle? We've seen Kerry against Tyrone. Tyrone got the better of Kerry in midfield. If Donegal do that, Kerry will be under pressure this time, because Donegal are a much more efficient organised forward unit. And then Kerry, can they unlock the Donegal defence? These are key questions that I'm asking myself all week. But the really interesting part of this that I can't answer is, both teams have come into this season and Jim and Jack have decided to have a siege mentality. Dublin or Donegal have built a fortress-like mindset, thriving on the idea that they'd be the underdog against the maybe traditional powers. And Kerry, meanwhile, have had to deal with internal criticism earlier in the year. And for me, that just makes it so hard to call. I think both teams are going to fight for every ball right until the end, and they have the quality to back it up. And I think we're going to be back doing a prediction show in a couple of weeks' time, Des. I think we're going to see this one go all the way.
A draw.
And that's not sitting on the fence. I just feel it's that hard to call.
I don't disagree, Paul. I can't call a winner in it anyway. That's Paul Flynn. Thanks. That's an excellent preview of the game. Reminder, we'll have all of the buzz of the final on Up for the Match 9:30 tomorrow night on RT1. Then you can watch Joanne and the panel on Sunday afternoon on RT2 television. And on Sunday Sport on Radio 1, we'll have Kerry's Brian Sheehan, Donegal's Mark McHugh, Desi Dolan and Eamon O'Hara with us. Now elsewhere, Kieran Meehan has been confirmed as Derry's new manager. He acted as interim manager previously. The Tyrone native took over in 2023 and led Derry to an Ulster title after Rory Gallagher stepped away. He'll have Chrissy McKay in his backroom team. In golf, Leona Maguire's return to form continues this week. She shares second place at the Women's Scottish Open on 5 under, one behind England's Charlotte Lafar. Padraig Harrington in fifth place at the British Senior Open at Sunningdale on 3 under, the leader Stephen Alker on 7 under. In cycling, Ben Healy remains 9th in general classification at the Tour de France, as Tadej Pogačar extended his lead in yellow. Ben O'Connor won stage 18. Irish surfer Garrod MacDade has won gold for Ireland at the European Championships in Portugal, and racing this evening is at Cork and Kilbeggan.
Des, thank you for that. And after the break, we'll be hearing about President Higgins' poetry and inclusive cool camps.